Hey guys, so this podcast you're about to listen to is probably going to be a little bit sad, so sorry to bring down the mood a little bit, but I think these stories deserve to be told. So buckle up. What's up guys? So welcome to the podcast. You are listening to Keeping It Raw. I am Raw, and today I heard a story that I was somewhat familiar with, and I felt like, you know what, I've heard a couple different stories that I felt like really just need to be shared. The story I heard today involved a 5-year-old little girl that I remember hearing about several years ago. Her name was Shania Davis. And the circumstances around her life were pretty normal until a day in October in 2009. Shania was a 5-year-old that went to Morganton Road Elementary School in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Her favorite colors were pink and yellow. Apparently, it would take her some time to warm up to people, but when she did, she was one of the kids that just clinged on to you. Shania lived with her dad. He had custody of her and lived with her dad and her aunt. And eventually, her mother, who had, you know, had a hard life, felt like she was prepared to be back in Shania's life. So she asked Shania's dad, you know, is it okay if I take time to, you know, I feel like I'm ready to be a mom and I want a relationship with Shania. So Shania's dad felt like she was being sincere and would give her some time with her. And on October 2nd, Shania's aunt took her to see her mom and gave her some clothes for 2 days. And, you know, they reminded her to be a good girl and to mind her manners. And she left. She dropped her off. At this time, Shania's mom had just gotten a mobile home and a job. And so it seemed like things were at least going to be a little steady in her life. Prior to this, several months before, Shania's mother, her name is Antoinette Davis, she had no home, she had no job, she needed some money because she was in and out of hotels, so she asked her sister's ex-boyfriend for $200, and he gave her $200, and she was able to at least live a little bit in regards to the hotels and eating a little bit until she was able to find a job. So months go by, the $200 that was lent seems to have been forgotten until October 10th at 3 a.m. Mario McNeil remembers he had $200 that was still owed to him. He finds out where Antoinette is living and goes to her mobile home. At 3 in the morning, neighbors remember loud banging on the door of Antoinette's trailer. Antoinette answers the door, and Mario asks for his $200 and says, if you don't have the money to pay me, then you need to do a favor for me. And she refuses the offer and instead offers Shania to do the favor. 3 hours later, Mario McNeil is seen in a hotel in Sanford carrying Shania. Shania is awake. She's alert. She is being held, so she's seeing as clinging to the shoulder of Mario McNeil. And he stays at the hotel for an hour and leaves. At 6 o'clock, Antoinette Davis, the mother of Shania, calls 911 and reports her daughter missing. She said that she put her on the couch at 5 a.m. and an hour later, her daughter was gone. Neighbors had seen a black male drive away from the house with the girl and thought that it was Antoinette's ex-boyfriend. His name was Clarence. So the police find Shania's blanket in a nearby trash can. And with the witnesses saying that they saw a black male, everybody pointing their finger at Antoinette's ex-boyfriend Clarence, they arrest Clarence. Clarence says that when he would stay at Antoinette's house, that he had never seen the girl on the couch. Antoinette had never put her on their couch like that and wouldn't have done it by herself. And he said that he was innocent. 2 days later, they find the man that was in the surveillance video and identify him as Mario McNeil. Mario McNeil turns himself in and says that he was the one that kidnapped Shania. They then release Clarence. 4 days after the girl is kidnapped, her mother is charged. She's charged with falsifying a police report. She's charged with human trafficking, felony child abuse involving prostitution. And 6 days later, 6 days later from when her mother reported her missing, Shania's body was found. There was evidence of sexual assault, and her cause of death was determined as strangulation. At Shania's memorial service, her heartbroken father said, "Daddy loves you, honey. I know you're going to be waiting for me, and I'll see you when I get there." It's a heartbreaking case, one where we don't know and we can't hear the voice of Shania. She was an innocent 5-year-old girl who up until this point had been living a really good life, but betrayed by the person who should have looked after her and loved her the most. For her role in this, her mother was given 17 years, and her killer was sentenced to death. The case of Shania Davis is 10 years old now. It'd be no real reason for it to be brought up in terms of the impact that Shania's death had on a lot of people, but it has been brought up. And in a case that happened recently, there was a girl named Aubriana. Now, Aubriana was missing for several months. Her dad couldn't get the authorities involved. And so what happened was there was a custody dispute, and Aubriana's mom fled the state of North Carolina. And when she fled, the father of Aubriana, whose name is Mario, he tried to reach out to the cops. And the police said, "Well, this is really just a custody disagreement, so we're not really going to investigate this, you know, unless you can prove that she's in some kind of danger." So the father tried and tried to get their help, tried to locate where his daughter might be, knew that he wasn't going to be able to find him unless the police helped, offered some kind of assistance. And in the meantime, for several months, this is from May to June and July, Aubriana's mother, whose name is Carmen, would go on Instagram and post little things like, "Oh, we're fine, you know, we just need a little space. Everybody knows the situation, knows, you know, that there's no way that I just left. No one's in danger or anything like that." So this is going on for months. The police and the media have all put their stuff out there, but Carmen and her mom have been putting out things that are just like, "No, everybody's fine. You know, don't believe all this hype. Don't believe it." And everybody's like, "But why is the media and the police like still searching for the girl if there's no real danger?" Right? So eventually the police do help. And in July, they start looking towards it themselves. They never put out an Amber Alert because they just thought it was a custody disagreement. However, they knew that because it was a custody disagreement, that there was some validation to them trying to go ahead and help search for the girl. Now, what I'm about to read is from crimeonline.com. However, I've also seen this same article among different news outlets online. Now, the mother's name is Carmen Lowe. Once on the case, authorities tracked Lowe's mobile phone and credit card purchases and eventually located her in New Orleans. The FBI arrested her on Thursday as part of the investigation into human trafficking and subsequently learned Abriana's whereabouts at a home in Louisville, Texas, also connected to human trafficking. Now, obviously, there are two sides to every story, but the home that Abriana was found in was being investigated for human trafficking. There were pimps in the home. There were other children in the home that they feel like were also, if they had been in the home longer, would have also been included in any human trafficking ring that was there and prevalent in the home. And I will point out that the mother took Abriana out of North Carolina, which was a violation of the custody. Now, what also happened was, while the mother was found in New Orleans, I mentioned that her daughter was in Louisville, Texas. This is not just like, I'm going to drop her off here and then I'm going to drive 30 minutes to go to the store or something. It wasn't like that. The mother was arrested for human trafficking, was arrested for prostitution, and for other charges as well. Now, she was found in New Orleans, which is 8 hours away from Louisville, Texas. She dropped her daughter off and was found 8 hours away. So it wasn't one of those things that you kind of hear sometimes where like the mother's just trying to escape abuse or something. They were already separated. They were already separated. There was a custody agreement in place. So there was some kind of, you know, just naturally an agreement there, an understanding. So to flee the state and then to be 8 hours away from your daughter, you know, your 4-year-old daughter, essentially suggests that there is more to the story. Fayetteville police said the child was pretty much given to a pimp, an associate of the pimp or family of the pimp, for keeping. It is a ring, a human trafficking ring. The FBI was investigating. These individuals had other children as well. Her father, though, went to Texas, was reunited with Abriana, so it was a happy ending. But the father said he believes that Carmen, the mother, sold Abriana to settle a drug debt with this pimp, although investigators have not confirmed that claim. Now, if true, it resembles a case from 10 years ago involving 5-year-old Shania Davis, whose mother gave her to a man to resolve a debt. The girl's body was later found in a field and had evidence of sexual assault and asphyxiation. I said that wrong. According to the father, though, the victim in that case was Carmen's cousin. Yes, that's right. Shania Davis is the cousin of Carmen, the mother who just sold her daughter to a pimp. Abriana's mother is the cousin of Shania Davis. Wow. This could have turned out in a whole different scenario, the father said. I don't even want to think about the negative. I'm just glad that she's here alive. Abriana was not harmed while she was missing. Court records show that Carmen was 23 years old, has been charged with theft, violating custody order, and prostitution. But now, this isn't the only case that caught my attention, and I want to discuss an ongoing missing persons case. And just kind of share what I've learned about it. I think it's pretty interesting. So this is about a girl named Erica Gayton. Erica Gayton was missing in El Paso, Texas. She caught news because not only is she missing, but she was also wanted on 66 or 67 charges of basically stealing credit card information and the things that go along with that. So stealing credit card information, fraud, using a different alias, those kind of things. So she had a date at a concert. She went to the concert. The official story is that she went to the concert. After the concert was over, she took an Uber and called a relative. And it was a brief conversation. Essentially, she was just saying she was on her way home. It was 1:08 in the morning. And after that call, nobody had seen or heard from her ever again. The reason that this is such a minimal factor in this is because the fact that she was wanted and all this stuff. So people just snap to the judgment that, hey, she's wanted on these charges, so she is certainly on the run, right? Here's where this gets a little mixed up. She has a 7-year-old son, and the son's own father, they're separated, so they have a custody agreement. The son's father said that she's a good mother, that she calls him every day. He loves her, he misses her. Just the normal things, you know, but the fact that he is going out on a limb saying, look, this is a good lady, she's a good person, and she's a good friend, and she cares about her son. She called him every day that I had him, that kind of thing, makes me feel like she wouldn't just abandon her son. Not that he's abandoned, but she wouldn't just leave and not try to communicate with her son or try to see her son, right? It's a real thing because you never know sometimes with parents. I mean, not every parent is perfect, you know, but when it comes to their own children, that kind of bond that, you know, causes you to reach out to them every day, even if you don't see them or have them every day, it's something special. So the reason I brought that up is because most people that know her know that she wouldn't have done that, okay? You hear about all in the news that people who are facing all these charges, they go out on the run. They head out, you know, they disappear. They go off the grid, that kind of thing. And so there are a couple disputed reports. And the police themselves have said, yeah, we want her for all of these charges, but she is still considered an endangered person. We're still actively looking for her as a missing person, not as a wanted person. She did appear on El Paso's most wanted list, though. So she is, you know, considered a deceitful person, a bad person. But she is overall a missing person. So here's why I think that she's actually missing and not just disappeared, right? I think she's missing because all these charges stem from less than $1,000 of stolen things. So all the credit card charges only racked up to like $700. Nobody's going to go missing for $700. Nobody's going to abandon their own child for $700. And that was my thought. You know, and then learning about Shania Davis's and learning about Aubriana, these were for small debts compared to, you know, the $700. So yeah, there's crazy stuff out there. There's no telling what's going on. But the over idea that the family is not in contact with her and is very concerned is the clear indicator to me that she is in fact missing. So there's a dispute out there that the man that she was on the date with said that she left the venue, they left separately, and she took an Uber. Her family says that she would have never taken an Uber. And let's see what else. There's also a dispute saying that she went to the date's house, had some kind of argument, and then left, according to the date, which would obviously be a big red flag because having a dispute and then going missing, you're going to be the number one suspect. taking Ubers. I mean, people have posed as Ubers before. You know, if there was some kind of, if their family is saying, hey, she would have never taken an Uber. Well, if she was out on a date and there was a disagreement and she didn't have a ride home, she would be required to take an Uber. Now, did she take an Uber and, or did she take a car and think it was an Uber? That's happened plenty of times. People get in cars thinking that it's an Uber, and the people drive for miles without ever indicating, hey, this is not an Uber, right? It's just, so that's happened quite a bit. It's pretty sad. But overall, you just really have to be careful. You have to be aware, and you have to be obvious. And when I say obvious, I mean you've got to be clear about your circumstances and situation. You have to be obvious about even like having your phone. Like, always carry your phone. I mean, Erica Gayton was a girl that, or a lady that had her phone everywhere. Her family says that, no, there's no way she would have abandoned her child, but there's also no way that she would have ever been without her phone. She's one of those people that constantly post and things like that. So with that kind of thing, it should be easier to track people, right? It's easier to see what people are up to because everybody posts their content, or everybody at least records or take pictures or calls or things like that. You would have thought that that would have kept somebody safe, you know, like Erica. But the fact is that I guess, you know, there are just evil people out there. And that's what you have to be aware of. Evil people in your life, outside of your circle, you know, it's scary. Because you want to take care of people, you want to make sure people are okay, because you never know if it's an angel, but also it's, you've got to be quite aware. And when I was talking about my podcast last week about homeless people and my stories, I mean, yeah, it's, you got to take care of people because you never know if they're angels, but at the same time, how many tests are there? Yeah. Anyway, I think I've brought down the mood just enough. I guess every once in a while I have to do a podcast that kind of brings down the mood. But thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping it raw. And thanks for keeping it under 20-something. All right. Bye.